The 2026 UEFA Champions League final lineup is complete. Paris Saint-Germain will face Arsenal in Budapest. After seeing off Bayern in their epic last four tie, they are now just 90 minutes away from defending their title. We'll tell you how the holders won their semi-final and we'll preview the final, which is only 3 weeks away. A huge showdown in Hungary awaits. Hello, I'm Chris Parrott and welcome to the podcast. Paris Saint-Germain dancing on the pitch right now as the Fussball Arena München, just like they did 12 months ago when they won their first European title here. And now it is the scene of another major success because they have seen off Bayern after a 1-1 draw in the second leg of their semi-final to book a date with destiny against Arsenal in Budapest. The 3,000 Paris Saint-Germain supporters high up in the top tier are the ones that you can hear, and all of the Paris players stood looking up, jumping up and down, and as ever, after a huge knockout game, the reaction, the emotions at the other end of the pitch, so stark, so different, as Bayern stand in front of the Südkurve, having given it all in a wonderful semi-final. Ultimately, it is they who are on the losing side. But in truth, nobody deserved to be knocked out after two epic legs, different legs in terms of how the game went and certainly how the goals were scored. We'll get into that. But first of all, delighted to be joined by the European football expert, Kevin Hatchard, and commentator, Mark Scott. We saw it with Arsenal on Tuesday, Mark. We're seeing it with Paris today. These moments, this is what it means to win Champions League semi-final.
Well, yeah, we saw real scenes of celebration from Arsenal when they edged past Atletico Madrid. And you can understand that because Arsenal hadn't been in the Champions League final for 20 years. Paris, obviously, are the holders. But I think the fact that they have come through this absolute blockbuster battle with Bayern adds to the fuel of these celebrations, because it was a titanic tussle from start to finish. The second leg, a very different affair to the first, but it didn't mean it was any less of a fight. It was more nuanced, it was more tactical, it was more about organisation and discipline, and Paris had that in spades.
And Kevin, you can hear that that applause is because the Bayern players and the Südkurve have just kind of finished their moment, and you can ultimately, that they didn't lose on the night, they lost the tie, but you can see the admiration from the supporters to the Bayern players about how they've gone about their business over the last 8 days. Everyone, I think, knows they've been part of something special, even if Bayern end up on the losing side and won't be able to chase yet another European triumph this season, at least.
It's a really good point, Chris, because German football has a thread of accountability running through it. What I mean by that is, what you tend to find is that when players have played a game, they'll go up to the fans, win, lose or draw, and then you'll very quickly get an idea of what the fans think of the performance. To a supporter, they all applauded Bayern. They all rose to acclaim the effort they gave. But I think what they recognise ultimately is that Bayern have had an incredible season, could still do a domestic double, by the way, but came up against the European champions, who I thought were phenomenal on the night. I thought that was one of the great away displays in this competition. Superb performance.
Certainly was. Let's hear how they did it. Just over a week ago, remember, Bayern and Paris played out one of the greatest matches ever seen in the Champions League, the 5-4 victory for Paris Saint-Germain. Tonight's return, not quite as goal-laden, but just as compelling. It was an absorbing encounter.
High line from Bayern might be exploited here by Kvaratskhelia, who's surging into the area. Three Paris players are up there. Big shots, 1-0. Smacked in by Ousmane Dembele. What a start for Paris.
Really well found by Kvaratskhelia. And the finish is outstanding, right down the middle.
Into the area. Opens up for the hit, and it's just over the top of the bar. Well, you know what's coming with Michael Olise. Ball whipped in across, and Neuer, I think, makes a big save there to keep out João Neves.
That was absolutely outstanding from João Neves, but what a brilliant save from Manuel Neuer.
Lovely touch from Olise. Musiala, it's opened up. Musiala, good save from Safonov.
Massive chance. It all comes from that great back heel from Olise.
Kvaratskhelia is in, and a chance to wrap it up. Goes begging.
Just couldn't get a clean shot away. Kim's done a really good job in the end.
Alfonso Davies, and he's got Harry Kane in the area. Kane turns and scores, and there is hope for Bayern. Harry Kane, instant control, and slapped into the top corner. Paris are back in the UEFA Champions League final again. The holders have seen off Bayern to set up a showdown with Arsenal in Budapest on the 30th of May. They have edged this titanic tussle between these two footballing heavyweights. 1-1 on the night. They progress 6-5 on aggregate.
The goal from Ousmane Dembele after only 3 minutes, Mark. Ultimately, what was absolutely crucial, not just perhaps because it put Paris 2 goals ahead on aggregate, but did it mean then they could play the game the way they wanted? They didn't need to chase it. They could soak up the pressure. They could look to hurt Bayern on the counter-attack.
It certainly put Bayern on the back foot. And you imagine Vincent Kompany's game plan would have been altered by the fact that they were then 2 goals down on aggregate. And certainly the confidence was flowing from Paris. I think that both head coaches probably had a few tricks up their sleeve. Kevin touched on the fact that Stanisic and Lima actually played on opposite flanks to where we were expecting them to be, and that was designed to try and help out the Bayern defence that were given problems with Paris's attack in the first leg. And Zaire Emery, I think, you know, him playing there instead of Hakimi really impressed me, the way that he operated, actually, because I, you know, if Hakimi had been available, he would have played, but they didn't miss him massively across the course of the game, and it was impressive in different ways. He wasn't quite as robust, maybe, as the Moroccan is in terms of surging upfield and helping the attacks, but his muscular presence, his discipline, his physicality really stood out. And that actually lasted deep into the second half as well, when there would have been some tired legs out there.
Made it a different game, actually, Hakimi not being there, because they were kind of forced to play a different way. And Zaire Emery played into that really well. They clearly said to him, look, don't try and be Ashraf Hakimi, be you. We know you can protect the ball. We know you can be physical. Just do that. And so he didn't take any risks he didn't need to take. When Luis Diaz was running at him, they helped him out. Marquinhos was phenomenal. Really doubled up brilliantly. I thought he struggled last week against Luis Diaz. He's obviously looked at the footage, looked at what he could do, tweaked a few things. It was really excellent. So that then makes it a different game. But that early goal, it's so smart. And we saw in the first leg, there are so many issues of timing. And you have to be perfect time and time and time again. And what they do is Kvaratskhelia plays it to Fabian Ruiz and then goes. And then Upamecano's tempted in. And he would have won that challenge so often in the first leg. And in the second leg, he won it a fair few times as well. But the thing with that is you get tempted in, you think, I can win that. And then they play round him. And because Lima's upfield trying to help out the attacking side of it, and he can't get back in time, that's what releases Kvaratskhelia. But he's still got so much to do, because he gets away, and you could whip that ball in blind if you want, and just hope that you find somebody. But he looks up, he sees Dembele. It's great from Dembele as well, because he doesn't just stand at the far post. He goes, and then he comes back out. And because he comes back out, it makes that cutback so much easier, and Kvaratskhelia could put it right on his boot. And then he whips it into the roof of the net. It's a brilliant breakaway goal.
Kevin spoken about the sort of split-second decision-making that you have to have. And I think the calibre and the quality of this tie is summed up by that. You have a split second to make a call. You get it wrong, you're punished. And also, yep, you look at the goal that Paris conceded late on that set up the grandstand finish. Just a slight switch off from their defence. Kane has half a metre of space. It's in the net. those are the margins that we're talking about, and that is the quality that we have seen across both instalments of this in different ways.
If you were to ask most people for the best forwards on the planet right now, I guess quite a lot would come up with the seven who started this second leg. And I think, Mark, to your point, we saw it with both of the goals. We saw it with a number of moments where, in particular, Manuel Neuer made some big saves, including in the first half. We heard it in the mix, but João Neves had that header. So whilst Paris were not as all-out attackers the first leg after the opening goal, they still went searching for the second, which really would have, you know, seen them through.
They can hurt you both ways, because they can counter, but they can also build and then suddenly hit you quickly in transition. So you're never really safe, are you, in any sort of circumstance? And I think that is what you're used to seeing from teams that are operating at this plane. And we're talking about the best of the best. And over the two legs, I know that there weren't the goals in the return leg that there were in the first, but it was no less compelling.
Sorry, Chris. I was just going to say, Paris's finishing is crazy. It's crazy. Look, you add up Chelsea, Liverpool and this, and if you watched them all back and if you looked at the XG and then the chances they put away, ruthless almost every time. I mean, it's unbelievable when you put those six games together, just the quality of the finishing.
Did we see why they were many people's favourites before this season began, perhaps to defend their title? The fact that they've able to play differently over the two legs show their immense attacking quality, of course, at the Parc des Princes, and then show tonight how they can soak up pressure as well. They are quite a fearsome opponent to have to face.
I think that there's that, but also I'm interested in the personnel and the versatility. Zaire Emery playing that role this evening in the absence of one of the best fullbacks on the planet in Achraf Hakimi, does a brilliant job. They've still got Hakimi, hopefully from their point of view, to come back in time for the final. Zaire Emery can then slot into midfield. That means that maybe Fabian Ruiz drops out. They've got an embarrassment of riches. Barkala comes on. They move around the front line. Kvaratskhelia does his defensive work so well. I think Safonov has come in and had a reassuring presence at the back. Unspectacular, but solid. I just think it's all of that. There's so many strengths to their game, and they're so robust, they're so versatile, and they've got a top coach like Luis Enrique to pull it all together.
When we watched them win the UEFA Champions League for the first time at the back end of last May in the same stadium, I think we all thought, OK, having waited for so long, we expect them to be back in the showpiece, at least, under Luis Enrique. But straight away, I mean, it's an immense achievement to reach back-to-back Champions League final. And remember, only one team in the Champions League era has ever defended their crown, Real Madrid, when they won it three times in a row. Before that, it was the great Milan team of 89 and 90. It's the holy grail to win it twice in a row. So to even have a shot at that is a remarkable achievement.
I thought genuinely at the start of the season what might get them was fatigue. Because if you think how many games they've played across so many different competitions, they played every game there was to play last season, including in this competition. Then they played all the way through the summer. Then they had various games where they zoomed around the globe to play those. And you look at the way that they play, the pressing that they do, the amount of interchanges there are, the mental stress of that, you know. Think of how many thousands of decisions those players have to make over a 90 minutes because Luis Enrique is so demanding. For him to time their run, not once but twice, it is just unbelievable coaching. We've praised Guardiola down the years for that kind of thing, for getting a team. Because you look at them sometimes in a season and think, are they in the right shape? Are they going to make it? Are they going to be okay? Like they'll have a performance where they haven't quite lit things up, and you're thinking, are they starting to fatigue? But actually, it's him timing that sprint for the finish.
Also,
it's really impressive.
On that, the spirit and the hunger and the desire. This is interesting because I know to us, winning a second UEFA Champions League in a row would seem like something amazing, majestic. You'd give anything to do it. But Sir Alex Ferguson used to talk about going again after Manchester United won English Premier League title one after another, that defending it was difficult because you've been there and you've done it. What I liked is looking down at the substitutes bench deep in injury time, they were all living every minute. Kvaratskhelia tracked back, won a tackle deep in a defensive area. They were almost on the pitch. They are still ravenous to do this again, and I think that is ominous for any potential opponent.
And that comes from the coach, that standard setting at the very top. You don't run, you don't play, you don't fight, you don't play. And they know, because the squad's so good, you look around at that bench and think, I better keep running, because if I don't, he's going to take me off. So they know that standard. Just a word on Bayern, by the way, because there's two sides to this. Because the performance of Paris has been phenomenal. You have to be so good to stop this Bayern team scoring until deep into stoppage time in this place. I mean, this is a team that scored 116 league goals. It's never been done before. I mean, they've smashed the record. And that record in the Bundesliga had stood since 1972. Mm. They scored buckets of goals in the Champions League. To do this to them is just beyond belief, really. I mean,
they suffocated them, I thought.
They did. And what they did, and I've not seen anybody do this to Bayern before this, is they made Bayern rush and make decisions they wouldn't normally
force
make.
Force passes.
Yeah. It just never happens. And that is a really high level. And even then they scored, Bayern.
And the interesting thing was, it wasn't just pressing that led to those force passes. There was just the positions they took up. You know, it was all perfect.
And it's desire as well, because Luis Diaz, one of the things he does brilliantly is you know what's coming. He's gonna run on the outside, and then he's going to come across you, and he's going to get the shot away. And because he moves the ball so quickly, it's really tough to stop him. And against one player, you've got no chance of stopping him. Against two or against three, then you can swarm him out. And the amount of times he came across, and he held it, and he held it, and he held it, and he thought, this window's got to open. It's got to open somewhere. And it just never did. It never did. And that is so hard to do. Olise, who's been lights out all season, was kept at arm's length by Nuno Mendes and Fabian Ruiz, who did a great job. This is high, high level stuff.
And did over both ties, but in the second leg, did we see, and we've heard from Luis Enrique and Vincent Kompany a lot over the last week or so, that the respect for their opponents is very high. Did we see both teams actually bring the very best out of their opponents, which is why we had a semi-final of this quality?
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, they were sparring, weren't they, in different ways. In the first leg, it was an all-out brawl, really, which was fabulous viewing. This was a bit more tactical, a bit more shadow boxing, and it, as I said, wasn't any less absorbing. It was just high calibre in a different way.
Certainly was. So, the goal from Ousmane Dembele puts Paris Saint-Germain 1-0 up. The equaliser in the 94th minute from Harry Kane set up a last 60 seconds when suddenly there are a few nerves, but Paris Saint-Germain are through and will meet Arsenal in Budapest on Saturday, the 30th of May, for the ultimate prize in European club football. Time has flown since September, when 36 clubs entered the league phase with a shared dream. Now, just two remain. What a journey it has been. And so it begins. 9 months of the best club football on the planet. The journey to see who will be crowned champions of Europe.
Shoots right footed. Oh my goodness. That's as explosive a goal as you'll see.
Early ball into the penalty area. Ramos has turned it in. Can you believe it? The European champion strike right at the end.
Semmer's delivery. 1-0, a landmark night for Paphos. Their first ever win in the Champions League.
At the halfway point, three teams have shown their pedigree with perfect starts to their campaign.
Oh, Neuer's come out of goal, Martinelli's gone round him. It's an open net and Martinelli scores for Arsenal. Arsenal with a two-goal advantage are going to make this 5 wins out of 5.
Now Estevão to take on Kubasi, and he's away from him. Balde in support. Oh, but he's left it in. That is absolutely brilliant from Estevão.
Welcome to the final night of this season's league phase.
Both Paris and Newcastle
are dropping out of the top eight on the final day.
Anatoly Trubin is forward. One last throw of the dice for Benfica. In it goes, right footed. Good ball, the goalkeeper's there!
Everything is deja vu, but this one is the first time.
The fight to reach the last 16 in Europe's elite club competition continues tonight.
Haugen's early ball, Evian arriving and scoring! It's magic in Milan for Bodo Glimt.
This is pure knockout football. It's end-to-end, it's fascinating. That's what the Champions League is made for.
And it's a place in the quarterfinals for Sporting, and they join the extraordinary list of clubs to have come from a three-goal deficit and to go through. Luis Figo is there in the stand. He can barely believe it.
Now, just eight teams remain. The quarterfinals kick off tonight here on Matchday Live.
Elise on the attack. Beautiful curling shot. Now that's the way to win it.
Atletico fans desperate for the final whistle. Diego Simeone desperate for the final whistle, which arrives. And Atletico Madrid are through to the semi-finals.
Games certainly do not get much bigger than this in world football.
Dembélé on the left side of the penalty. He shows, he scores. It's five now for the European champions. Luis Diaz inside the penalty here. Turns and scores. Sensational goal by Luis Diaz. This has been a Champions League epic.
I think the best match I've ever managed as a coach.
He goes for goal. It's a brilliant save. It's turned in by Saka. The whistle goes. And for only the second time, Arsenal are in the Champions League final.
Three Paris players are up there. Big chance, 1-0. Smacked in by Ousmane Dembélé. What a start for Paris. The holders have seen off Bayern to set up a showdown with Arsenal.
What a campaign it has been, and we've loved bringing you every night of it on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Eight fixtures for all the teams in the league phase, and then all of the drama of the knockout stages ultimately has led Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain to the final in Budapest in just over 3 weeks' time. Kevin, it is a repeat of last season's semi-final, which was narrowly won by Paris Saint-Germain, and of course they met in the league phase last season when Arsenal beat Paris Saint-Germain 2-0. So two sets of players as well as clubs who know each other very well. It's going to be great. We've got Mikel Arteta against a team he used to play for. There's going to be lots of narratives now over the next few weeks building up to this great occasion, as well as what should be a sensational football match.
Yeah, it's a fascinating final because the styles are different. Paris will look to dominate possession. They'll look to play in a different way to how they've played against Bayern, maybe, over the two legs of the semi-final. They'll look to set the tempo. They'll look to try and open up gaps in that Arsenal rear guard. But what we know is that Arsenal defend as well as anybody in Europe, and maybe better than anyone in Europe. And we know the threat that they have from set plays. It's not just set plays. We know that Bukayo Saka, when he's fit, is one of the best wingers out there. So Arsenal will have their threats too. Eze, if he starts, is a player that can make something happen. He's a big game player as well. I mean, he's somebody who can come out, you know, with something magnificent to win a final or to turn a big game Arsenal's way. I think it's fascinating. I think it really is. You've got two really smart coaches who go about things in a slightly different way. Super intense, super demanding, super passionate. I think it's going to be great.
Mark, both have very important league matches, of course, before the final. So by the time we get there, Arsenal, of course, dreaming of ending the long wait to win the English Premier League. Paris Saint-Germain still have a bit of work, including a huge game against Lens, to win yet another Ligue 1 title. So potentially both of them are looking for a, an amazing season by the time that they get to Budapest.
That does add a bit of intrigue to it, because obviously we know that Bayern have wrapped up the Bundesliga, so they would have been able to manage the minutes a bit more going into the final if they'd have made it, which would have given them perhaps a little bit of an advantage over a team that are still scrapping for their domestic honours as Arsenal and Paris are. But also, I think what's interesting is that this business end of the season, you're seeing both head coaches maybe come up with new ideas. Miles Lewis-Skelly played in midfield against Atletico, having only been tried out in that role against Fulham a game earlier, and that was a massive match to try out what was essentially an experiment in for the 19-year-old. I know that this was forced with Hakimi being out injured and Zaire Emery playing in that position and Fabian Ruiz taking his place in midfield, but there's still a bit of scope during this run-in and during these big games to try and secure their respective titles for some players to play their way in and maybe play their way out of the showpiece in Budapest.
Yeah, Lewis-Skelly is an interesting one, because I think the reason he was put in that Arsenal team, or one of the reasons, was he's a progressive passer. He wants to kind of really get them moving. I think he felt that was going to be important to break open spaces in that Atletico midfield. But the other thing about him that I really admire, actually, his ability to shield the ball. For a young player, he's so smart, drawing contact, winning those free kicks. Against a team like Paris, you need that, because it can be a bit of a whirlwind in there and they're popping the ball around. If you can actually protect the ball, win that free kick, give yourself a bit of a breather and go again, that's really important. But then on the flip side of that, you might look at it and think, well, Zubimendi is so good at just spraying that ball around, at just providing that shield, and also letting Declan Rice gallop. And that's going to be really important. I think Rice is at his best when he races forward and he commits players, and that's what they're going to need.
The narrative, though, Chris, will, before the second leg against Bayern for Paris, would have been about Paris's attack against Arsenal's defence. But I think we've seen in the second leg that Paris's defence is pretty decent as well, given, as Kevin said, the amount of goals that Bayern have been bagging for fun. And until the 94th minute, Bayern didn't score against them.
Yeah, indeed. And if we look at Arsenal, I guess, trying to replicate Paris Saint-Germain from 12 months ago and get over the line and win that first UEFA Champions League, that too will be a narrative. Paris going for back-to-back titles, as I mentioned, happened once in the Champions League era. Arsenal looking for their greatest night if they were to get their hands on it. That presumably is going to play in it. And I get the picture that both coaches, the way you listen to them throughout the seasons, there's going to be no playing down just how big a final, how big a moment this is for both of their clubs.
Absolutely, and it'll be fascinating to see the difference between the desire and the hunger and the desperation in the best possible way of the Arsenal players to get that first ever European Cup under their belts, but then perhaps contrast that to the muscle memory of the Paris players who were there just a year ago and did so in such devastating fashion against Inter, and how much that sort of puts them at ease going into such a high-pressured event.
It's a huge psychological advantage for Paris. If you've been there and you've done it, you've experienced that final, you've experienced the week building up to it. I mean, you know, Arsenal have world-class players and they have a coach that has played in big games himself. So they won't be overawed per se, but it is different if you've been there and you've done it. So that's something that Arteta has as a challenge, and he'll have to deal with that. What I love as well about this final is the matchups. You know, Saka against Kvaratskhelia are both trying to push each other back, and then you've got fullbacks on that side. We don't know about Timber, but Ben White links up well with Saka. You've then got Nuno Mendes, who's got that ability to charge forward. We didn't see that so much against Bayern. And then, you know, on the other side, you've got Doué racing.
You can't
forwards.
Name all of the players.
No, I know, but I'm excited, so I'm going to do that. But I just think it's great. I mean, also Vitinha and João Neves up against some of those midfielders. Can they deal with Declan Rice? Can he deal with them? It's great. It's great. Yeah. Really good matchup.
I've been asked for a prediction.
I'll go first. Paris will win it, I think. I think Arsenal will hang in there and they'll stay in it. And defensively, that gets you in the mix for the big trophies because they're the strongest defensive unit. But I just think this Paris team, with the confidence they have, with the quality they have, with the coaching they have, are just going to find a way.
I think Paris will do it, but not by as big a margin as they did last year.
We can't wait to find out Saturday the 30th of May. We'll hold you to those two predictions. Last word tonight. Let's go back to one of Paris's heroes as they look to defend their Champions League crown. João Neves was very pleased with the way his side played across both legs of this amazing semi-final they just had against Bayern.
We scored six, you know. This match is playing in two times, so we scored six. I think we did a very good game, both of them. We can still improve, and that's why we are here and we will work on it. So I'm very proud. We did six goals, don't forget. And even we conceded five, we defended well, and I think we are proud of ourselves.
Paris Saint-Germain back in the final. This competition never disappoints, does it? My thanks to Kevin and Mark for helping guide us through this evening. A reminder, Match Day Live back on air from 5:30 Central European Time on Saturday the 30th of May to bring you all the build-up from Budapest before full live commentary of the showpiece. Will Paris defend their crown, or will Arsenal claim their first ever European Cup? Make sure to join us and find out. It will be thrilling. There have been 188 matches so far this season, just one left to play. Until then, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.